Today I'd like to speak on the importance of preparation. How many of us last year would have been familiar with phrases like sustained human-to-human transmission, or pandemic, or overwhelmed NHS, peaks, waves, asymptomatic stockpiling PPE, contact tracing? All of these phrases are, of course, very familiar to us now, but last year would that have been the case? Well, certainly for me, it wouldn't have been the case. I wouldn't have been familiar with most of those words and phrases. But all of those words and phrases are to be found in a document produced by the United Kingdom government last year. And it's known as the R95 DHSC. It's a comprehensive 600-page planning document that sets out the risks facing the UK and what is needed to prepare for them. And it was signed off by Sir Patrick Vallance, the government's chief scientific advisor. It was basically a national security risk assessment, an NSRA. And whenever I think about that, it just says to me something. The importance, even government's place, on preparation. Now, obviously the government intended to be prepared, but somehow or other they didn't quite get round to it, did they? One source said that the government's attention had been taken up with other political drivers like a general election, Brexit, flooding. But the thing that ended up making the most damage or causing the most damage at the greatest cause wasn't just given second place in a list of priorities, but possibly fourth place at least. We were ill prepared. And that's so strange for people of our generation who are so familiar with quotes like this: to fail to prepare is to prepare to fail. To be prepared is half the victory. And the Scouts motto has it pared right down to just two words: be prepared. The importance of preparation. Jesus wants us to know about the importance of preparation too. His words, his advice, his instruction, well, it wasn't issued last year, but 2,000 years ago. He was well aware of the human tendency to not pay attention, to ignore the warnings, or to give other things of lesser importance the priority over the real life or death issues. And the people he encountered during his earthly ministry were no different to many of us today. Which is why he gave a parable when he visited some who lived in the area of Gennesaret, west of the Sea of Galilee. And we read about this in Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read from verse 24 of that chapter. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." In the parable that Jesus gives, he also tells us about the motivation for preparation. He talks about wind, rain and flood, that combination that we would usually say today had all the ingredients of a storm. And that's some motivation, isn't it, for preparation? A storm is coming. So he's making some points in this parable. not being prepared. In this case, building without making a preparation, a foundation. You know, it wasn't what was actually built that Jesus wants us to think about or concentrate on, but how it was being built. Maybe I can ask you at this point, what you're building. I don't mean that you are doing some project that involves physical, literal building, but many are building in life, building a lifestyle, building a family, building a career, building a business. Yes, building a home, building a reputation. And there's nothing wrong with any of these in isolation. We often start building up these dreams quite early on in life, and many often work hard at achieving our goals. And it's not so much what we're building, but what we're building on. How have we started? What has been our preparation and our motive for preparing? Has no one told us that all of our efforts, our diligence, our blood, sweat and tears might actually just come to nothing in an instant? Has no one told us that there's a great storm coming? Has no one told us of the need to prepare? And I believe that's what Jesus wants us to know. That's what he's getting across when he speaks to the people he's addressing using the parable of the wise and foolish builders. The wise builder is an illustration of the person who comes to Jesus, hears Jesus' message, and takes his message seriously and does something about it. You know, many have heard the message of Jesus, but they haven't taken it seriously. Others have heard and understood the gravity of his message, but they've done nothing about it. What about you today? What category do you fit into? See, the message of Jesus is often the problem. Because Jesus' message contains words like those he used on one occasion, "You must be born again." Now, the first time they were used by Jesus was to counsel a man called Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very religious Jew, and he was high up in his religion, as we might say. But he was nowhere spiritually speaking. He had been building a fine reputation for himself as an upright and decent pillar of the community. But Jesus wasn't interested in that. Jesus knew that Nicodemus hadn't prepared before he started to build. Jesus knew Nicodemus had no foundation for his faith. It was just good works and religious observance and probably some kind of personal sacrifice. And it's because of that that Jesus wanted to get to his heart, get to the heart of the matter. And he wanted Nicodemus to begin again. In fact, be born again. He wanted Nicodemus to get the real thing and build on it. To begin by being rightly related to God through believing in God's Son and only Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What's your starting point? Was there a time in your life when you made contact with the rock? That's the best starting point. That's the best foundation. Or have you just been busy building a life for yourself with no reference to the Lord Jesus or his word? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So Jesus wants to get across to the people at Gennesaret the importance of preparation. And of course there's a motivation for preparation. Why did the wise builder build in the rock? Well, he did so because of fear of the consequences. The storm, the wind, the rain, the flood, all of that would beat upon his property. All of that would undermine the stability of his property. He was aware of a storm, the possibility of a storm coming and coming with no warning. He was aware that it would just do away with all that he had been building. That was his motivating factor. That's what caused him to dig down and to get to the rock and to start there and to build in the rock. Last year we heard about Hurricane Dorian. And with all that's been happening since that, we've probably forgotten about it. It was formed on the 24th of August and it dissipated on the 8th of September. It was in the southeastern region of the US and reached as far as the Bahamas. It had one of the highest classifications, a Category 5 hurricane. And it sustained winds of 185 miles per hour. It's tied with a 1935 hurricane as the strongest Atlantic hurricane on record. And it's because of that, and the threat of that, the fear of that, the reality of such things coming, that many buildings are now being built to withstand hurricanes. Of course, only where people can afford to do that. There's a motivating factor, a motivation for preparation. The severity of the possible destruction is such that many people are, if they can, preparing for what may come. So think about the spiritually wise man. Jesus is trying to make us think about him. What is the spiritually wise man's motivating factor? Why is he so careful to be sure that he's building on a true foundation? Well, we read in the last book of your Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 17, about an awful day that's yet to come. For the great day of his wrath has come. Listen to these words. Who shall be able to stand? Then, away back in the middle of your Bibles, the first Psalm, verse 5. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. In fact, they're described as being like chaff. They'll just be taken away. But there's a contrast in Psalm 1. And the contrast is that the believer is like a tree, as opposed to the unbeliever being like chaff. And the believer, like a tree, is rooted and grounded and stands and will not be swept away in the judgment. So there's a motivating factor, if ever there was one, for us to be sure that all that we are building is based upon a true foundation, a sure foundation, a solid foundation, that we have got it right. Because there is coming a day when this will matter. There's coming a day when we will stand in judgment. Will we be able to stand? Or will we be swept away? So what preparation is Jesus really talking about back in the parable in Matthew 7? Well, when he gives this parable, he doesn't describe the houses very much. just that they were built and whether or not they were built on a foundation. We don't know if they were large or small. We don't know if they were grand or utilitarian. We don't know if they were fussy or minimalist. We don't know if they were modern or traditional. I like to think of the two of them as in the mind of Jesus and in the mind of his listeners on that first occasion, that he was describing houses that were identical, at least from above ground. And as far as the passerby would be able to tell, they looked exactly the same. But the important details in the story, as Jesus wants to get across the importance of preparation, those details are really the foundation and the storm. When the flood arose, the parable says, not if, but when. We're not told how long the houses were standing before the flood came. Would we have known to look at them? Which had the firm foundation? And does not just suggest to me and you that it's the unseen part that's the important part? You know, the part that I can't see, even as a preacher, I can't see your soul. I can't see if you're in Christ and belong to Jesus or not. But God can see those differences. And we find them as we read through the parable. The wise builder dug down deep and made contact with the solid rock. Because we have this parable in two passages in the Word of God. And we get all the details by looking at both of them. He dug down deep and made contact with the solid rock. The foolish builder did not. So the wise builder got his priorities right. He was motivated by the idea that there would one day be a storm. It's a when, not an if. Whereas the foolish builder didn't get his priorities right. The wise builder looked to the future. Everything was fine the day he started, but he thought of a coming day. The foolish builder failed to look to the future. The wise builder was motivated by fear of the storm. The foolish builder was not. The wise builder had a sure foundation on the solid rock. The foolish builder had no foundation. Are you building without a foundation? Perhaps you say, but I'm doing all right and I don't have Jesus. Well, that's fine if all there is to life is this life in this world. Jesus tells us that this life is not all there is. And if that's true, and I believe it is true, then suddenly we begin to look at things in a very different light. We bring into the equation the word eternity. What are we building that will count in eternity? Or more importantly, how are we building for eternity? How have we prepared for eternity? Are we taking shortcuts? I'm sure we've heard enough stories and seen enough programs on the TV to know that many building projects have ended badly because shortcuts were taken. It's never a good idea in a building project to take shortcuts. And the foolish builder did exactly that. He bypassed the need for a solid foundation. He just wanted to get his house up there and then so that he could get on with enjoying it. We would call that today instant gratification. And that indeed is a mark of this generation. The foolish builder didn't seem to be too concerned about the future. Quite often when grand designs is on, the word future-proofing is used. And what they mean is that in all the ducts and all the conduits that are around the house. It's full of multimedia cabling and electrical cabling. Far more than is probably needed at that moment in time. But they're always thinking that down the line there'll be something new will have come along. There'll be the very latest technology that hasn't just been discovered yet. And rather than have to keep tracking walls and remodeling, they are putting as much cable in as they can at the time with the latest technology that is available at the time. And this is all to make the house future-proof. But just as many people who build today aren't worried about the future. Just as many people, when they come to build, they use materials that won't last, especially materials that won't last in our damp climate. As long as it's okay today, is the attitude. The foolish builder was happy to start straight away on top of the earth. The superficial, the visible, the easy. He saw no need to excavate further. Or perhaps he was counting the cost. And he thought, well, for me to go down as far as the rock would be, would cost me more money. It would be more labour. It would be more time. Earth-focused, time-focused, money-focused. Counting the cost. And so many today, as they think about their need of salvation, they don't have any argument with us that the words of Jesus are true, but they're counting the cost. And as they do so, they're thinking to themselves, well, if I were to trust the Lord Jesus, it would cost me. I would have to confess that before others. And they go down through a list of things that would be costly. And they go for the easy option and they reject Jesus. Now, the result of the foolish builder being earth-focused, time-focused, money-focused, perhaps, was that he just pushed all thought of a solid foundation to the back of his mind with the attitude, it'll be all right. And although he had no foundation, he proceeded to build. And that's so true of many of us, even some in our families, neighbours, friends, people we grew up with, work colleagues. There they are, building away at a life, but in their life there's no reference to God or being right with God. But there may even be some who are building a religious identity, but it's still without a true foundation. And we know that any building we're going to do will involve work. And the Bible does talk about works. But the order is the same. It's works after or on a foundation, not works without a foundation. Faith without works is dead, but works without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Saviour is deadly. The foolishness was not in the building or the planning or the design or the scale. The foolishness was that he hadn't a foundation. He hadn't prepared. So what is Jesus teaching here? Well, because of the way it's worded, because he begins by saying, whoever hears what I'm saying, my message, and whoever does it is like the wise man. And then he goes on to say, and whoever hears my message and does what I'm telling them is, or doesn't do what I'm telling them, is like the foolish man. So what Jesus is talking here is about responses. And he begins with that. You hear, your response is to do what I say, or you hear and your response is to not do what I say. The word responsibility, of course, means ability to respond. And we all have that. One hears and does, Matthew 7 and 24. Jesus says he's wise. One hears and doesn't do, Matthew 7 and 26. Jesus calls them foolish. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are you responding to the message that you have heard or are hearing? Well, eventually the storm comes and it hits both houses. And Jesus tells us what happened. The house of the foolish builder, for example, the one with no foundation, Matthew 7 and 27, we read this, great was the fall of it. It was only after the storm that reality hit. Oh, how many people, when the storm of death has come, have been brought face to face with reality. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Back to your parable, Matthew 7, verse 24. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken to him, or liken him to the wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. I love this short little phrase from the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and 4. That rock was Jesus. You know, the rock was there before the house. And when we think about our Saviour, as one songwriter put it, he was there all the time. We think about Jesus, the eternal Son of God. Before we took a breath in this world, Jesus had come and been our Saviour. The rock was there all the time. The torrent which broke upon the house, both houses in the story that Jesus tells, reminds us of the storms that are going to come our way, the storm of death, the storm of judgment. And when we think about Jesus going to the cross of Calvary, you know what happened there? The storm of our eternal death, the storm of our eternal judgment crashed on him. It broke on him, the rock. But it didn't break him. Do you see the coming storm of judgment that we have mentioned? Well, for those of us Jesus would consider as wise because we have him as our foundation, well, we're trusting him, and that storm for us has already been unleashed on Jesus as he hung there on the cross. The preparation we have made is that we have trusted what he has done for us, his finished work. We are depending on that. We are believing in that. That is our only hope, but it's the only hope we need. That is our foundation. That is what we have built upon. Remember in the other passage in Luke's Gospel, it describes this parable. It says of the wise man, he dug down deep. He got through to the rock. Stuff had to be got out of the way so that he could get to Jesus. What's between you and Jesus today? Is it worth keeping you from him? Because it may be the thing that will cause your destruction in the judgment. Get through to him today. Trust him today. Accept his message today. Take his advice today. Make preparation today. Don't be caught out today. Begin with him today, like Nicodemus, be born again today. And then on a future day, instead of fearing a storm, there'll be nothing to fear. When the storm of death comes, it'll just be like closing your eyes in this world and opening them in the immediate presence of the Lord. There'll be no judgment to fear. Are you what Jesus would describe as wise? Or are you what Jesus would describe as foolish? May the Lord use these thoughts to challenge our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.